And then let's take our Bibles and turn to Exodus chapter 3 tonight. Exodus chapter 3, we're going to read starting in verse 10. Exodus chapter 3. Look at different people from the Bible, different character studies. Calling our series Portraits. Tonight we're going to look at Moses again. Exodus chapter 3. In verse 10, where the Lord has called to Moses out of the burning bush, and Moses goes to see, and then the Lord speaks to Moses. And in verse 10, the Lord says, "Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly, I will be with thee." Let's begin with prayer. Lord, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for your word. We ask now for your blessing upon the word of God as we study it. We pray your Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I don't think I would ever want to be like a really well-known celebrity. I don't think I would ever want to be famous. Just because of the amount of attention that is put on like celebrities. Like celebrities or athletes or like even politicians, just the amount of scrutiny that their lives go through. I mean, like there's people who follow them around all the time, taking pictures, like the paparazzi, just constantly. And so, like, I'm gonna run to the gas station, and then like there's people there taking your picture while you're pumping gas. Like, I don't want to have to deal with that. And then they write all these articles about what you wore. Like, oh, he was there in his pajamas. I'm like, sorry, I didn't. Didn't know I need to dress up for this. I'm like, wow, he's worn that outfit like five times this month already. Like, I don't know, just that constant people looking at you and criticizing every single part of you. I don't think I would do well with that. But like, even celebrities, they have to have their insecurities, you know, things that like their little flaws that like bother them. And the next thing they know is someone wrote an article about that and took pictures of them. Like, I don't want to have to go through that. Everybody has their insecurities, right? The little things that that worry them that they know about themselves. And here's Moses, right? And Moses' insecurities are on full display when God calls him to lead Israel out of Egypt. And Moses has to deal with these as God calls him to serve. And you think about who Moses was. And it seems to us that Moses is like in the perfect position to be who, like the leader of Israel. Because Moses he was an Israelite, but he had been raised in Pharaoh's palace, like highly educated and trained. And we would look at that and go, out of all the people there in Israel, it seems like Moses is in the perfect place for this. Like, Moses is the guy to do what God needs him to do. We would look at him that way, but you read how Moses looks at himself, and we're going to in a minute, and Moses is like, no way. Like, I am the exact opposite person that you need to do this. Because even Moses and who he was and like his childhood and how he was raised and all of that, even Moses with that background still had his insecurities. And so that's how I want to see Moses tonight, as a portrait of insecurities or of insecurity. And when Jesus calls us to serve him, like he called Moses, it's at those times where it seems to bring out the real insecurities that we have and the things that make us question whether we're able to do it or whether we would want to do it. Because Jesus will ask us to do uncomfortable things and things that are out of our real comfort zone many times in ministry. And when I say ministry, it's not like ministry with a capital M, like not a, like a title thing or even a named ministry. But just in like daily life when we serve God. And God likes to really stretch us in different ways and put us in positions where, or in situations where he calls us to do something that we're not comfortable doing, that maybe we've never done before and that scares us to think about doing it. And yet God says, okay, this is what I want you to do. And God deals with us with all the insecurities that we have. I remember when I was in college, I sang in a choir that would travel. And I had never really done much singing in a choir before, or never really much singing, but I got picked to sing in this choir. And so we would practice, and then I was kind of a substitute for a while, and it happened that I think I was still a substitute when I traveled for the first time. So we would wake up early on a Sunday morning, get in our vans, and drive to this church. And sometimes the church would want us to like sing during Sunday school. They would have everybody together in the auditorium, and we would put on like a short sort of concert. And we had to do this Sunday morning. And I got up there, and I was so nervous. I was shaking so badly. I thought for a minute I was going to fall over. I was that nervous. We got done, and the guy I was standing next to, he turns to me. We walked down, and he went, "You okay?" He goes, "I could feel you shaking the entire time." I was just terrified. I was so nervous to be up there singing in front of people. But it was also in college that there was a speaker there who was talking about singing. And he said that, he was like a professional singer, and he said, if you get nervous when you're singing, it's a pride issue for you. And I went, maybe, like I could see maybe, but it felt a lot more like fear. Like, not really that I was proud to be up there or anything. It was more like I was just terrified. I mean, maybe there is some pride that's in there, you know, but what's interesting is when God deals with Moses about his fears and his insecurities, he doesn't treat it as like a pride thing. He just deals with him about this. And that's what I want to see tonight. When we look at Moses and the insecurities that he had and the reservations he had about serving God, I think we can really like associate with Moses in this. Because I think we've all had times in our life where we know what God is wanting us to do, but we go, I don't think I can, right? I'm not comfortable doing that. I've never done it before. I don't think I'm great at it. I want to see how God handled that as he dealt with Moses about this. Because God worked with Moses through these doubts and these insecurities and all his questions. And it teaches us something. But what we're going to look at tonight we're not going to focus on Moses and the insecurities that he had and the questions that he had. Really, we're going to focus on God's response to them. What God told him as he thought about all of these things. And God told Moses four important truths about himself that we need to understand. And so here's the first one that we read in verse 11down through verse 12 and 13. Because when God calls Moses to lead them out of Israel, Moses replies to God in verse 11, and he says, "Who am I that I should go into Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" And here's God's answer in verse 12. "Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain." And Moses said unto God, or let's stop there. We don't want to go too far. So Moses' question is, who am I to do this, right? Who am I that you would pick me to do this? And God's response is simply in verse 12, "I'll be with you," right? So that's the first truth, where God says, "I am with you." That's what we need to understand. God's response is, "I will be with thee." Now, I know I've talked about this before, but these sort of statements in Scripture, they're not necessarily statements about the omnipresence of God. It's not just God looking at Moses and saying, "Well, I am everywhere present." It's a statement of that God is with him specifically to bless him, right? It's that God is there to enable and to support Moses in what he is doing. So it's this specific promise that God gives to Moses that his presence would be with him and his presence to support and bless Moses in everything that Moses did. I've heard a lot of people say, a lot of times it's at graduations you'll hear like seniors say when they're getting up and talking about all the things that they're thankful for and all of that. They'll say that they're thankful for their parents for always being there, right? You've heard that before. They say, "I want to thank my parents for always being there." Which is kind of funny to me because teens, I think they spend also a lot of time saying to their parents, "Go away," you know, or like, "Leave me alone." But then at graduation, like, "I'm thankful that they were always there." But they're not saying that they're just thankful that their parents happen to be under the same roof as them, right? What they're saying is they're thankful for how much their parents supported them throughout, you know, their education and drove them to school every day or drove them to all their different sporting events and things like that and made them do their homework or paid for their schooling or whatever it is, right? They're just thankful for how their parents were always there in this supportive role for them. And that's what they're saying. And that's what God is telling Moses that he's going to do for him. He's telling Moses that everywhere you go and all the things that you do and all what I've called you to do, everywhere you go and in everything you do, I am there to support you. It's never going to be, Moses, you're out there on your own. God said, I'm going to be with you every single step of the way. And God has told us that as well, that everything he calls us to do, he also supports us as we do it. I wanted to go to Isaiah 43, if you'll go there with me. Isaiah 43, and verse 2. Isaiah 43 and verse 2. When thou passest through the waters, the Lord said to Israel, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. And then we look down in verse 5. Fear not, for I am with thee. And sometimes ministry and doing what God calls us to do and serving God feels like that, like rivers that are going to overwhelm us or fires that are going to burn us. And we look at it and go, I don't know, that makes me nervous. But God says, don't worry about that. Simply put, I will be with thee. And Moses was, when God is dealing with Moses at the burning bush, it's like Moses is standing at that bank of the river and looking at that river saying, I don't know if I can go through that. Or at the edge of the fire saying, I don't know if I can endure that. And he says, who am I? And God says, that doesn't matter. What matters is that I will be with thee. And he says, fear not, I'm going to go with you and support you all the way through this. And when we stand here or sit there and we think about stepping forward into what God, we know God wants us to do, whatever it might be, and we have those moments of fearfulness and nervousness and we're scared about that and we're confronted with all of our insecurities, what we need to remember is that God has told us that every step of the way, he goes with us, that he will support us through all of that. So that's the first truth we find out about God as God talks to Moses. Here's the second response. If we look in verse 13, Moses replies again to God, and he said unto God, Exodus 3 and verse 13, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Moses is concerned about what he's going to say when they question his authority. Like who sent Moses? What authority do you have to come to us and say all of these things? And he knew they were going to ask about that. And so Moses says, well, what am I going to tell them? What authority am I going to have? I'm sure some of you have badges that you have to wear for work, right? And you have like the card you have to put on when you go into work, and it'll have probably your name on there and maybe a picture, right? It's that identification so they know it's you, the right person's wearing the right badge. And that's important to have, but it's also important to have like the name of the company on that badge, right? Because that is what gives you that authority to be there. And badges aren't interchangeable, right? You can't walk into Pfizer with a McDonald's badge and say, I can be here. But also, you can't walk into McDonald's with a Pfizer badge and say, I'm allowed to make burgers. They're like, no, you can't do that, right? You have to have the appropriate authority there on that badge. And Moses is saying, they're going to look at me and go, what's on your badge? Right? What authority do you have? And so here's what God tells him. And here's the second truth that we find. It's that God says, I have sent you, right? God says, number one, I'm going to be with you. But number two, I've sent you. And the Lord says, Moses, that's your authority. It's not in who you are, your training, and your time in Pharaoh's palace or any of that. Your authority is that I have sent you. And the Lord gives him this name of God. In verse 14, God said unto Moses, I am that I am. He said, when they ask about my name, he says, this is what you're going to tell them. I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am as sent me. And then he says in verse 15, you're going to tell them that the Lord God of your fathers has sent me unto you. So he said, I am that I am. And he says, I am has sent you. And then he says, the Lord, which is Lord in all capitals. And the word Lord, when it's put in all capitals in our Bible, is Yahweh. It's the four like Hebrew letters, YHWH, comes from the verb for being, or the verb for I am. So he basically told him the same thing three times in a row. I am that I am, and the Lord hath sent you. And it's considered to be the personal name of God. And it was so so special to the Jewish people that they wouldn't even pronounce it. Instead, they would say Adonai, or which would be Lord in lower, like capital L and then lowercase letters. And that's how it's translated for us. Sometimes they would write it as Jehovah, which is like J-H-V-H, which is like the English way of writing Y-H-W-H. It's just the difference between Hebrew and English. But they would take that J-H-V-H and put in the vowels from Adonai and put them in there, and that's how we get Jehovah. But it was this name that would communicate to them the highest authority, that it wasn't just Moses there in his own name. It was Moses there in the name of God, this very special name for God. And that was Moses' authority. And we need to always remember that what God calls us to do, we do it in God's authority. We do it in God's name. That he's the one who's called us to do that. That's our why, right? That's our confidence to serve God. Our confidence to serve doesn't come from who we are, our abilities, or the wisdom that we have, or the experience that we have. It comes from the fact that God looked at us and said, this is what I want you to do. And we say, well, if God wants me to do it, then that's the authority that I need. I just need to know from God that this is what he wants me to do. And then we go and we do that. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 38, Jesus said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into the harvest. That's God's job, is to put people into the harvest. And when he sends us, we arrive at the harvest and go, I'm here because God sent me. That's why I'm here, to do what God wants me to do in whatever way, whatever capacity God said to do this. Right? I'm not here with my last name on a badge saying, that's why. I'm here because God said that we need to do this. And God knew what he was doing when he pointed at you and said, I want you to do this, whatever it is. God knew exactly what he was doing. And we take that from the Lord and we say, well, God's in charge. So I just need to obey, trusting that he's the one that sent me. So the Lord says to Moses, I am with you. And then he says, I've sent you. But Moses has another issue. In chapter 4, if we look down in Exodus chapter 4 and verse 1, we're going to read all the way down through verse 9. So in verse 1 of chapter 4, Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thine hand in thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again, and behold it, and plucked it out of his bosom, and behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. So third, the Lord looks at Moses. When Moses says, basically, they're not going to believe me, the Lord said, I'm going to enable you, right? So that's number three. That's the third truth. I will enable you. Moses is a bit pessimistic, even when when talking with God about all of this. And I think we can never underestimate the power of humanity to be pessimistic, right? We can always find something to be negative about. Do you remember when COVID, when we were in the COVID years, remember how many times we talked about the new normal? What a pessimistic thing. You know, we're like, oh, this is the new normal. We're going to be wearing masks all the time and social distancing and all of that. It's just, you know, politicians, they're going to make this the new normal. Thankfully, it wasn't, right? Thankfully, we don't have to wear masks all the time anymore, and, you know, we don't have to social distance and do all of that. But there was a period of time where we were kind of pessimistic about the whole outlook of things. You know, we can just always find something to be a little negative about. And Moses is a bit pessimistic about this whole thing. He says, they're not going to believe me. They're not going to hearken unto my voice. And they're going to say, the Lord hath not appeared unto me. And here's what the Lord says to Moses. He says simply, I'm going to enable you. Right? He says, I'm going to give you miracles that you are going to be able to do. So three miracles. He was going to be able to take his rod and throw it on the ground, become a snake, and hopefully he won't run the next time. You know, that's not a good look in front of everybody. But throw it on the ground, it becomes a snake. He'll be able to pick it back up again. It turns back into a rod. He's going to be able to put his hand into his coat, and when he pulls it out, there'll be leprosy on his hand. Put it back in, and it'll be healed. And then if they don't still believe that, he can take water, pour it out, and it'll turn into blood. Right? So God would then enable Moses to be able to do things that he couldn't normally do. These weren't things that Moses had been able to do before this. But God said, for this time and for this ministry, I'm going to enable you to do things that you normally would not be able to do. You know, I think sometimes the miracle that God works in us, when he calls us to do something, and we look at it and go, I don't know if I can. Sometimes I think the biggest miracle is just that God enables us to say yes. And then we instantly regret it. You know, somebody asks us to do something or something, and we go, hey, yeah, okay, I'll do it. And then we look back and go, why did I say yes to this? Right? I would never agree to this. But sometimes it's like God just gives us the little strength just to agree. And then we go, I don't know if I should have said yes to this. And then we kind of fumble our way through it, and God brings us through that, and somehow with all our where we don't do a great job at it, yet God accomplishes everything God wants to accomplish through that. God glorifies himself in that. And we look at it and go, oh, that's a miracle of God, right? That God took us and did something through that, right? That God took us in our, even if I say incompetence, I don't mean it to be that harsh. But, you know, just our ways that we feel so unable, and we're just not maybe the best at something. But God says, well, I want you to do that. And then God enables us. And God works in us as we simply do what he's called us to do. And Moses' miracles were God taking something and changing it into something else. And God does that with us. He takes us and he changes us into something else as we serve him. And he takes us from who we are and he changes us into a servant. Right? That's what God does. He transforms us from our defensiveness and our desire to really protect ourselves. And he pushes us out there. And then as we just agree and go with it, God changes us into a servant who's willing to put ourselves out there to do what God wants us to do. But the God who calls us is the one who is responsible to enable us. And he's promised that he'll do that. Turn to Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah 41. We know what Philippians 4 says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. That's his enabling for us. Isaiah 41 and verse 8. The Lord says, but thou, Israel, art my servant Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend, thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called thee from the chief men thereof and said unto thee, thou art my servant Jacob. I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. The Lord said, I've called you. And he says, I'm going to take care of you. I'll enable you. I'll give you all the strength that you need. That's what we need to remember, that the God who has called us will also enable us. So the Lord looks at Moses when he says, well, the people aren't going to believe me. And the Lord says, well, I'll take care of that because I will enable you. I'll allow you to do all of these things. But then there's one last insecurity that he deals with in chapter 4, the book of Exodus, chapter 4 and verse 10. Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth, or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. Moses was highly concerned with his inability to speak well, which is probably high on most people's list. But I think, like, if Moses had come to me and said, listen, God wants me to like, be his spokesperson before Pharaoh, and he goes, and if Moses looked at me and said, I just don't talk really well, I probably would have said something like, it's not that bad. You know, you're great, Moses. Like, I've talked with you before, and it's not horrible. You know, nobody notices, Moses. Like, nobody hears anything wrong with you. That's probably what I would have said. But you know what God said? Moses goes, I can't talk well. And God goes, yeah, I know. That's what he said. He said, I know. He said, who hath made man's mouth? Or who made the dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Lord went, yeah, I made you that way. He looked at Moses and said, I know. And that's the fourth truth, right? God knows. God knows all about who we are. God knows everything about us because he created you. He created you exactly as you are, with all like the shortcomings that are there in your life. And sometimes we think about choosing people, right? When you played recess when you were younger, if you can remember back then, right? And you were picking teams for something. You would pick the people that were good at the sport first, right? And then, like, the people that were last, you're like, well, I guess you're on my team, you know, because you have to be on the team. And you never wanted to be picked last, right, in for a sport. But we would pick people based on, like, the great abilities that they had and all of that. And then the people who were left last were the people that didn't have the specific abilities for that sport or whatever. But God doesn't pick anyone last. God didn't pick Moses last. He didn't look at all the people who could speak and go, well, they won't do it, they won't do it, they won't do it. Well, I guess I'm stuck with Moses, right? And like Moses was his last choice. God picks people to serve him because he has created them specifically for that area. But then we look at ourselves and we see how imperfect we are in many ways. And we understand that sometimes God picks people who are imperfect. I've heard of preachers who God called to preach that had a stutter. I think Dan Souza, that was Dan Souza's testimony, I believe. I could be wrong about that. But there have been men that God has called them to preach and they have a stutter. And you go, how is that going to work with preaching? But God uses them. Or people that God calls them to play piano in a church and all they can do is like the melody in the right hand. Like that's it. They can't play like Danny can or John or these other people, right? It's like just plunking out the melody in the right hand. But God says, hey, I want you to do this because they need someone to play a piano in a church. And we can find a lot of stories in people's life of God calling them to do something where they weren't the best at it. And yet God says, I want you to do that. And God says, I know exactly who you are. I know what you can and cannot do. But God says, I'm still picking you and I'm not picking you last. I'm picking you first to do this, even though you may not be the best person in the world at what I'm picking you to do. God knows all about our insecurities and about the things we can and cannot do, and yet he still chooses us. God didn't make a mistake when he called Moses. Have you ever thought that maybe God picks us because of the things we can't do? Maybe it's because of our weaknesses that God says, you're the exact person that I need. Maybe he looks at us and says, you know what, you can't do it. You're the perfect one for the job. You're perfect for this because of what you cannot do. We can't look at that, at what we can or cannot do, and make that the deciding factor of whether we obey what God wants us to do. We just have to say, well, you know what? God's called me to do it. I just need to go and do that. So the Lord looks at Moses, and he says, I'm with you. I have sent you. I will enable you, and I know exactly who you are. But Moses isn't done. So in chapter 4 and verse 13, after all that Moses has said and after all the ways God has worked with him, Moses still has one more thing to say. And he says in verse 13, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, basically what Moses said was that he wants God to send someone else. It's a little confusing understanding exactly what Moses was communicating in verse 13, but there's something rebellious in that, where Moses looked at God and said, basically in some way, no. And the Lord's anger is kindled against Moses for that. And I think we have to be careful that our insecurities and our fears and our doubts don't become a gateway for unwillingness and disobedience, where we don't let ourselves head down that path where when we're at that fork in the road and we know what God wants us to do and what God is asking us to do, and we look at that path, but then we see whatever scares us, we can't let that steer us away from obedience. We just have to trust God and simply obey. And some of the greatest experiences that we'll have come from when we step out of our comfort zone. When we moved into the house that we're in, the people before us left a really big recliner in the living room that we still have. And man, it's really comfortable. Everybody who sits in it goes, wow, this is a comfortable recliner. But I enjoy sitting in that recliner, and like the perfect time is probably where I have a book and a blanket and the room is slightly cold, not super cold, but you know, a little colder so that the blanket feels nice. And I think I have a snack and like a drink or something right there. That's just comfort, you know, just in a nice recliner with all the things that you need. You don't have to get up. You don't have to go anywhere. That's like the perfect comfort place. And I think we all have one of those in our house, but the greatest experiences we have generally come when we get out of those places and we do something, right? The memories that we make isn't us like in a recliner. It's us like having experiences and spending time with family. Maybe it is, but it's like the times when we go out and we do stuff and we spend time with family or friends or whatever, right? And my point is that we can find ourselves comfortable in our life doing whatever it is we do. And then God comes along and says, okay, I want you to move from that comfort zone and get out of that a little bit. And I'm going to confront you with something that makes you a little bit nervous. And maybe you're scared to do whatever it is. But it's in those times where we really get to experience how great God is and the things that God is really able to do. And God has so many great things waiting for us if we just obey Him and if we just follow Him. I've got a lot of friends in ministry who it seems like they're really good at everything. I get like a couple come to mind where I'm like, they're just super talented at everything they do. But you know, I really appreciate people who do things that they're not good at. And people who are willing to serve God, even though they look at themselves and go, I'm not great at it, but I'm willing to do it anyways. And I really appreciate that when people are just willing and they say, you know what? There's other people who could do a lot better than me, but I'm willing to do it. And I'll just step out and do whatever God wants me to do. And God takes people like that, like you and me, and just does what He wants to do. And God is glorified in that. And God accomplishes His will through people like us. And we look at Moses. And it's easy for us to look back at Moses over his life and go, what a great guy Moses was, how talented he was, and how meek he was, and how he was able to lead Israel. And Moses looked at himself and went, I can't do it. I am not the one for the job. But God said, yeah, you are. And he says nothing to Moses about what Moses was able to do, simply about who God would be to Moses. And that's what we have to remember. As God asks us to serve Him in ways that really bring out our insecurities and make us uncomfortable, the more we look at ourselves, the less likely we're going to be to do it. The more we look at God, the more we're going to be willing to just go with God and do what God has called us to do. And that should be our motto for serving. God can do it. That's what we need to remind ourselves. That's what God told Moses. Not that Moses could do it, but that God could do it. And so we look at that and go, okay, then I will step out. I will step from the bank of the river and into the fire, knowing that God goes with me every step of the way. And I just trust that God will do exactly what He wants to do with me and through me. All right, let's close with prayer. Lord, we're thankful for who You are. And Lord, we're thankful that You would take people like us and use us Lord, it's our privilege to be able to serve you and to follow you. But Lord, there are times where we just feel so unable and so insecure and scared to do what you've called us to do. And we pray that you'd help us to simply look at you and see how great you are and how able you are. Lord, help us to follow you. Help us to trust you. And we pray that you'd use us as you see fit. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.